Jim Harris, SportingLifeArkansas.com. What's up, Jim?
Hello, Pat Bradley.
What is going on, my man?
I don't know. After a night like that, you just, I don't know about anybody else. They probably go to bed about 11 after one shining moment, but I just can't get enough and, you know, stayed up reading the Kentucky paper or the Kentucky writers, Connecticut columns. Just had to get the complete look at the game. Well, this is it, you know. There's not a next one until next year, as Calipari saying about his team. You know, there's not a next one. Just move on.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah, sure.
Because going into this game, I had seen a few people write about this, and I got to thinking, and I kind of agree that UConn, as much success as they've had in the last 20 years, obviously, I believe they won the first one with Calhoun in 99.
Yeah.
And this is their fourth in 15 years.
Right.
Do you look at them as a basketball powerhouse, or the way you look at Kentucky or Kansas? You do?
Yeah, I look at them as being in the elite now. I mean, they won more since 99 than Duke has, you know.
Well, yeah, if you look at the numbers, certainly look at the numbers, but I just look at how much they're talked about, how much they're covered throughout the media, and the only really big news that you've heard from them has been Calhoun and his cantankerous press conferences.
Right, and then they were disqualified from competing last year, I guess, because of the APR.
Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like they get the same.
Well, they probably don't. I'm not sure they're not. Some people out there don't hold them a little bit in that, not quite, but some people see them maybe as what, you know, UNLV might have been. I mean, kind of a little renegade.
Yeah.
You know, they had the investigation of Niles, whatever his name was, that they cost an assistant coach's job, didn't cost Cal Calhoun his job, because, you know, head coaches are smart enough to not know anything about any underhanded recruiting. Of course, that assistant coach was replaced by Kevin Ollie, and that's how he got the job. He got last year he got a one-year contract, Pat.
Imagine that. Yeah, it wasn't like an interim contract. How about that?
I mean, basically, he wasn't given a seven-year, $2 million deal, that's for sure. I'll bet he can get one now, or he can get a deal with the Lakers.
That was the news coming in. He's another one that I could see have a lot of success on the NBA level, just the way he relates and motivates.
Exactly, the relates, I think, is a – he can relate and motivate. That's well said. I thought he's, you know, I didn't start noticing this UConn team until there was some point in January, and I started following them. And not to toot my horn, but you know, on a local television show here, I predicted UConn to certainly be the sleeper pick of the tournament and make the Final Four. But started noticing them. I watched how they played against Memphis, and I watched Kevin Ollie's work, and I like that backcourt. I guess the only backcourt in the country that really matched them really well, and you can say, hey, SMU beat them twice, and they did, but the only backcourt I ever saw when they played that could really play with them as quickness-wise was Louisville with you know, Russ Smith and and the JUCO transfer, whose name right now escapes me, but who took over for Siva from last year. But I mean, that was the only backcourt that I thought was a tough matchup for them. As it turned out, the teams in the Final Four, I mean, the Harrisons weren't. I mean, they were close, but they weren't a tough matchup for them. And I guess the big shocker of all was that I mean, how they were so tough a matchup for Scotty Wilbekin. I really didn't think he'd meet his match in the Final Four. I'm still surprised.
He'd been able to get.
We didn't crown Florida's national champion.
Yeah, he had been able to get by everybody, anybody, any kind of defense. He was able to make an impact, and when you saw that, that's when I started to think to myself, well, now, wait a second. If they can do that to him, and he's been able to get by and get in the lane and just cause havoc with dribble penetration, what are these guys going to be able to do to the Harrison twins? Because that's what they need to do. They need to get in the paint, and they're not going to so much and I thought that the difference with Kentucky when they started to run that offense where you allow Randall to touch the ball in places where he's successful and Dakari Johnson. And then when you saw that early on last night's game, I don't know when you probably thought that UConn had a chance all along. Or did Kentucky and what they'd done in the past couple games get you flipped and thought Kentucky might come out with this one?
I thought they still might, but I agreed with what I was hearing. Either out of Calipari, I think he was hinting to this, and from the Kentucky writers, and that second game was so much more demanding to those teams. You know, and that's something you always have to watch. I think it was a factor. I mean, if you want to talk about it and remind the fans here in Arkansas about it, I thought we look back 19 years ago, I thought that the Arkansas North Carolina game was so emotionally, mentally, physically demanding of those teams that it put the winner of that game at a disadvantage probably two nights later against UCLA. I've always kind of tried to watch and see which game of the two on Saturday, you know, looked to be more taxing. Because, even though you got that one day on Sunday, it's tough to flip it around. I mean, you know, you do have to come up with a game plan, but two, you just got to have that energy. And you got to be able to maintain that energy. And I thought that, I mean, for the most part, except for really in the early going, I mean, UConn just had its way with Florida. And I don't know if they had to expend as much energy as Kentucky did to pull that game out. And then, as you know, Pat, having been there, I mean, you expend energy in your celebration after the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I mean, after it's over, when you celebrate the way Kentucky did pulling that game out, I mean, you expend even more. And then the nerves that they brought to the game last night. I mean, people asked Calipari why he took Julius Randle out after three trips down the court. I can promise you, you're as nervous as those freshmen probably were all day getting ready for that game. And I guarantee you, they weren't cocky. They were nervous. Yeah. They were in a tough position. I mean, that ate into their energy level as well, and they just didn't match them. It was hard for Kentucky to start to match them. They couldn't match them man-to-man. They had to go to that zone. They were kind of lucky. You know, Kentucky was really lucky that Daniels was off last night, or it would have been a rout, I think. Because, when they went to zone, if Daniels could have hit his jump shots, it just probably wouldn't even have been a contest. But instead, UConn went through that little stretch the last 6 minutes of the first half, early in the second half. They couldn't hit anything, and I mean, he had a pretty good game, but down the stretch, I just think Kentucky didn't quite have that. I thought they were spent late, and they just didn't quite have the energy to get over the hump.
Let me ask you something that came up. It always comes up, actually. Calipari, do you think he's leaving Kentucky anytime soon?
I don't know. I felt convinced by him last night that no. I just don't see why he'd want to go back into the pros. I don't know if he's making $5-something million at Kentucky, and he seems to like the college game enough, and he can dominate there. I mean, he's not a sure thing in the pros.
Think of this, though, Jim. Think of this, right? What?
Sure.
And I'm not saying that these guys aren't fantastic top-level coaches, right? Because what makes up a coach is a number of things: their ability to in-game coach, their ability to run a practice, their ability to manage their players, and their ability to recruit. Let's be honest. Nick Saban's success comes because of the five stars and four stars that he has, and he's able to handle those. He's able to recruit those guys. Calipari.
And he's able to motivate them and kind of rule over them.
Certainly. Same thing with Calipari, right? The first step is he gets them. The next step is he motivates, he pushes buttons, he gets them to where they are, to where they compete for national championships almost every year, right? Three out of the last four. So if I look at Calipari or any coach, one thing Calipari has is a lot of influence around basketball. He's got the right connections. He's made some, you know, his networking is legendary, is what he's been able to do. Let's just say, for instance, he has, behind the scenes, made contact with some NBA all-stars, maybe even some NBA superstars, who may become free agents after this year, may become free agents after next year.
Right.
And he does have an opportunity to land in L.A., which we all know, for a player, you want to play for an organization that cares about their team, a fan base that cares about their team. I mean, I can almost see a scenario where
he'd be a star there. He'd be Hollywood. He already is kind of Hollywood. It would make sense of any possibility. He's not going to be the coach of the Atlanta Hawks.
No,
he's not going to be the next
sign his own death certificate.
The Pelicans, you know, he's not going to be the next Cavs coach or the Knicks coach. I mean, you know, I don't see him in that storm.
The only thing that would make sense, if he has reached out, his agent has reached out, World Wide West has reached out and gotten an idea where some of these next superstars might land. I don't know. Is Miami going to be able to get everything LeBron wants? There's a possibility in that. And there are other guys that you can build championship teams around that he may look at it and say, I just don't know, Jim, with these, just how fanatical these Kentucky fans are. I haven't been in that situation as a head coach, so I don't know. I don't know if there's only a small number of guys who can relate to that.
You know, there was a hint to that a little bit, the way he talked about all that the Harrison twins put up with, you know, during the season. You know, and think about this, Pat. You sort of heard a lot of that. I mean, let's take, for instance, your teammate Kareem Reed, who took over after Arkansas had made back-to-back trips to the championship game and won in 94. You were around a lot of, I mean, Arkansas's fan base is miles away from reaching where Kentucky's craziness is. But there was a stretch there, and you know how it was. That, I mean, certainly Kareem took a lot of criticism. Certainly Darnell Robinson took criticism when Arkansas didn't succeed.
Yeah, and Lee Wilson, a lot of those guys that.
I mean, yeah, there were a lot of guys that right after those 2 years where Arkansas's at the pinnacle, I don't know what your personal experience was.
It was 97. I was walking on campus, and some kid walks by me and said, y'all suck. And I didn't was looking around like, was he talking to me? And then I thought, well, I could try to hit him over the head with my chemistry book, but I don't take chemistry, and I don't have any books with me. So I'm just walking on campus to make it look like
narrowly
I was going to class.
Avoided disaster.
Yeah. But
that kid was lucky that day.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, but you think about how people had 40-0 shirts before the season started. These guys were already planning on this moment last night, and they made it to the championship game. It was a rickety ride, you know, as Coach Richardson might would have described it.
Yep.
I mean, you know, for Kentucky. And it wasn't a pleasant ride. It was not a fun rickety ride. I mean, there was a lot of downers. I mean, when they lost that Arkansas game at home, I mean, you could see the faces on television of the Kentucky fans. I mean, like, what's going on here? I mean, we've lost to Arkansas.
Poor guy got a national championship tattoo this year. I mean, how sick is that?
Well, yeah, and I mean, you got just the craziness that even went on last night after they lost. I mean, it's a fan base that we don't even really appreciate unless you can go to Lexington or you go to the SEC tournament, you know, and kind of meet some of these people. But I don't know. There's something about that that kind of struck a chord with me when Calipari, he obviously wasn't happy with that reaction. And the next superstar freshman class he brings in will be the same. If all these guys come back next year, it's going to be intense pressure for them to produce. I think they will. I mean, I think if Kentucky, if the Harrisons come back, even if Randall leaves, and I did want to say one thing before we got too far away from that game last night.
Yeah.
And I think this guy's going to leave. But I thought the first game that it really mattered that they missed Cauley Stein.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was the guy. I mean, because look at their rebounding. Their rebounding was sort of brought back to earth. They're playing a lot of 6'6 guys, you know, out there.
Yeah.
They put in a couple of 6'10 guys off the bench. I don't remember Dakari Johnson doing much. He kind of played like he did against Arkansas. I didn't hear of him or see him much last night. I think nerves got to him, too. But they were a real average rebounding team last night, and they missed Willie Cauley-Stein's experience and board play. I mean, he's probably responsible for at least 10 or 11 boards last night that they don't get. And I thought that was a key.
Well, even Marcus Lee, who came broke out of his shell. He had 6 minutes.
Either.
Played 6 minutes last game.
Right. I mean, a whole lot of these guys, I mean, when he went to the championship round, nerves got to a lot of them. And the experience they could have used with Willie Cauley-Stein and what he brings, shot blocking, the rebounding, was probably the one key factor that it finally reared its ugly head and made a difference. It didn't make a difference until last night. I mean, they lost him in the Louisville game. They were able to get by a team they matched up really well with in Michigan, beat them by a buzzer shot, you know, beat Wisconsin with a buzzer shot. But Cauley-Stein was a missed deal. I understand probably he will go, but if he comes back and the Harrisons are back and Young's back, you know, some of those key players there, I mean, that could be an awfully dynamic team next year. I mean, that could be a 18-0 SEC team.
Yeah, the way it looks, though, Jim, I think those guys are going to be gone. If they have a chance, first-round chance, I think they're gone, to be honest with you. But we'll see. We'll see. Let me ask you something else.
Yeah.
Arkansas State BCS head coach experience at the spring game. We're going to get Coach Blake Anderson on, by the way, in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Starting bid, $2,500. Are you trying to rally the troops right now to pitch in so you can be a coach?
Somebody would definitely have to pitch in. I can't handle it on my own, but I'd love to get out there and, you know, call the shot.
Do you remember another team doing this?
Not in football. I mean, I don't think I've heard it in football. I've heard about it in basketball. I think Arkansas did it in.
I coached last year.
Yeah, they had some kind of deal, but it wasn't an auction. It was just kind of like a drawing to coach.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But I think auctioning it off—that's a heck of an idea. I remember when they've, you know, slightly off the subject, but similar. The rep here, not the rep, the symphony orchestra here used to have this big auction every year
to sing,
where they would auction the baton to some guy, and I think the late Gary Davis Affiliated Foods would always contribute some nice sum of money to the symphony. Well, here's a way to, at least for Arkansas State, to, you know, pad some of that Red Wolf Foundation coffers, and I'd love to see Jeff Long, maybe Brett Bielema. You know, maybe Mike Anderson do that. I'd love to sit on that sideline.
The more that but in the last few years, I've been talking about the spring game for some reason a lot more and more. And the more former college players that I talk to about their spring game, it becomes apparent to me how little it meant to them and how little it is used as a coach for anything other than for the fans anyway. They would most coaches would rather have a day of practice as opposed to the spring game.
Well, yeah, I think you're right, Pat. And I think like this scrimmage that Arkansas – or the two scrimmages that Arkansas had last week, I mean, there was one little minor scrimmage, and then, of course, they had a bigger scrimmage Saturday, probably meant more than what they'll do in the spring game. They'll split it up, but, I mean, there won't be – I doubt there will be any decisions made on starters for the Razorbacks based on
– No, Texas A&M isn't even having a spring game this year, right?
Well, they're going to have it at Huntsville Penitentiary.
What? All right, let's talk.
They're going to be the what's that movie? They're going to be the longest yard.
Yeah, they should. Jim Harris, before I let you go, Masters this week. Obviously, Tigers'
favorite week of the year. Yeah. Into the basketball.
Are you going?
I'm not going.
No, you're not going. Okay.
Although I was tempted to go over there, but the weather's got me concerned. I think they're going to deal with some rain Thursday, maybe. I don't know. You know, it's still big, even though Tiger's not there.
Who's it going to be? I mean, who do you got? Rory, Adam Scott?
If he's healthy enough, I think Jason Day's due to win something like this. I pushed for him in the PGA, and he didn't win it. But I think that guy's got major winner written on him. I like Jason Day. I don't know. A lot of the so-called experts now with Tiger out of the picture, for some reason they're saying if Bubba Watson doesn't, you know, repeat what he did 2 years ago, look for Dustin Johnson to break through. Man, I don't know if that guy's still got the mental makeup to do it. He's got the swing. He's got the talent. Kind of like Tom Weisskopf was back in the day. And he's probably going to win a major somewhere down the road, but I think he gets in his own way on round four. But I'd like Jason Day, probably McIlroy, and I hope someday Hunter Mahan wins a major, but he's been fighting injury as well. So there's a lot of guys coming into this thing that you'd like to see win, but they're kind of fighting it, the injury. So that kind of tells you maybe it's going to be a surprise guy we don't see coming. It's the year for a Mike Weir.
There you go.
As UK, calling Mike Weir.
I'm always pulling for a lefty Canadian. Jim Harris.
Well, it's playing to lefties. I mean, if there's another lefty out there who can break through, other than the Phil Mickelson type or the Bubba Watsons, you know, the core setup now sort of favors lefties because they can come in high with their fade on a course that used to be built to draw.
Just confusing me. You know my game doesn't think like that, Jim. Come on, Jimbo.
You're not left-handed, for one thing.
That's a good point.
Maybe you should be.
Good point, Jim. Good point.
Well, let's get out there and we'll knock it around ourselves. We're having our own Masters.
Let's do it. I'm in, my friend.
I think you guys are having a tournament here, aren't you?
Yeah, buzz tournament.
28th.
Monday the 28th. You got it, my friend. Hope that I see you there, Jim.
I hope I'm on the list.
Yes, you're on the list.
I look forward to that tournament.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Pat. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Jim.
See ya.
Jim Harris, SportingLifeArkansas.com. They do a wide variety of fantastic stuff over there.
Wall-to-wall coverage.
Great writing. Well, you know, Jim is an old-time scribe.
A learned sage.
Yeah. Jim's, he knows a lot about a lot.
Yeah, he does. It's an opinion of value.
Yeah,
Jimbo Harris, when he talks, man ought to listen.
Take this break. After the break, not only...